Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So this week, we are going to do another draft. Joe on Facebook has suggested that we do a dining draft, which I am all over because eating at Disney World is one of my favorite pastimes.
Okay, so I'm pumped to do a dining draft, but at the same time, I'm sitting here going, is anybody actually going to be at all surprised with the way that this draft goes?
We have talked so much about dining that, yeah, it's probably not going to be surprising, but now we'll have it like
in the books,
documented
on the books.
Yeah, so
as what we drafted, and then we'll draft like 3 years from now and see that nothing changed and we're still picking the exact same places.
So the rules for this draft are going to be you can pick a restaurant per round. It doesn't matter if it's quick service, table service, whatever, just a dining place on property. We're only going to do Disney World, right?
Yes, only Disney World, because okay. Otherwise it just gets cray.
Yeah. So, Brad, I will let you go first.
Dang it. So I was really hoping. Okay, so here's the thing.
Wait, did you want me to go first? Do you want to do an audio version of Rock, Paper, Scissors and see who gets to go first?
No. I'm going to let you go first because I pretty much, like, if I have to choose between the first two, then I have to choose. Otherwise, I just pick the one that you didn't pick because we both know what the first two are, so... Oh, by the way, do I still get Stitch's Great Escape as a freebie on this one too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
You get Stitch's Great Escape. The chili dogs are
right.
The best.
That's right. Nothing like that chili dog smell.
So my first pick, surprising no one, is California Grill.
Restaurant.
Yeah, I know. Calm down. Everything's gonna be okay. But that place, the food is so good. The ambiance is so good. The view. So good. I love that you go into an elevator with a concierge person who takes you up to the top floor. I know that's ridiculous and it's just silly, but I love it. I love that they're, you know, Katie will take you up to the restaurant now and nobody else is allowed to get in that elevator.
You like the feeling of how are you not a DVC member yet?
I do. I love feeling fancy like that. The only issue I have with California Grill is the wait staff, because I have on at least one occasion had a waiter that is just not carrying over that kind of fancy feeling. Like, the guy, especially last time, the dude was super aloof and he wouldn't make eye contact with me.
Is that not the definition of fancy?
I guess it is. He was really playing the part of like a guy who worked at a fancy restaurant that was just super pissed about being there. But but other than that, I mean, I love that place. So again, surprising no one, I have secured California Grill. And Brad, surprising no one,
will pick Le Cellier.
Yep.
Yeah. So again, like I said, this, if you have listened to like three episodes of this podcast, because I feel like every three episodes or so, we somehow will work California Grill and Le Cellier into the talking points. It's like, you know, we'll be talking about Hollywood Studios. Well, if they had a place like Le Cellier, if they had, somehow it'll work its way in there. So yes, Le Cellier is my pick. I actually was getting my draft board ready for tonight, and I was talking with Nancy, my wife, about what she thought should be on here, and she's like, well, all I know is at Le Cellier, I get pretzel bread, so make sure that's on the list. Which sounds like a really small thing, but...
It absolutely does not.
Again,
sound
my
like
wife
a small
has
thing.
A corn allergy, and so she's used to not being able to eat things anywhere. And the idea that she can not only can she order something and they can make something work, but like they can bring out the free stuff and she can actually have some of it. And let's be honest, she can have the part that everybody actually wants.
Yeah,
because ain't nobody fighting over the multigrain, but the pretzel bread, yeah. So, you know, there's that aspect of Lucilia. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like I've heard a lot of people talking about the quality going down at that place. And I guess I've been lucky when I've gone, because I've always ended up with really good servers. And I can only think of one time. There was one time, I think about three trips back, that we went, we were with my family, and they brought out our steaks, and my dad and I both cut into our steaks, and we're like, wow, this isn't any good. This is nothing like what it's been before. And we looked at it, and we're like, these steaks are overcooked. And, you know, the waiter took a look at it, and he's like, oh, no. He's like, that's overdone. So, you know, he took it back to the kitchen immediately. You know, a pretty short period of time later, he brought it back out. So clearly, you know, it wasn't like we got moved back to the back of the queue again. They took care of us right then. He brings it back out. A manager comes out as well, and they're like, can you just cut into it, and let's make sure that it's right. This, and, you know, we cut in. They're like, does that look good? Does that? Yeah, that's good. Okay, cool. You know? And so they, like I said, the only time that I've had a bad experience there, they immediately made it right.
And that's all that matters. You know, nowhere it's going to be perfect, but the fact that they quickly and efficiently fixed it, I mean, that's what matters to me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, you've got the steak, you've got the risotto, you know, the cheese soup, or the poutine fries, or, you know, there's just, I love Le Cellier. That is the will not surprise anybody Brad's pick for the first round. So we've taken care of the first round, and the super, super obvious two picks.
Right.
I think I still know where you're, I have a pretty good feeling where you're going to go next, but go ahead and make your second pick.
My number two is Ohana.
Yes. Two for two.
Because, again, the view is wonderful, especially now that the DVC little bungalow things have totally destroyed the view on the beach. the view out of the windows in Ohana, since they're up on the second floor of the Poly, is really good, especially at night, because you can see the water pageant. It's really fun. It is a great value. I would say that Ohana is one of the best values in a restaurant. It is, as far as I remember, $35 a person.
Well, okay, that's what it was the last time you went.
Right, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah, tickets go up every year, so why wouldn't Ohana go up every year?
But even if it was $50 a person, it's unlimited everything. I mean, like, anything that they bring out to your table, you can have as much of it as you want.
Yeah, you know, that was another one that Nancy actually really liked Ohana, but there was one thing that she didn't like, and that was, again, with her food allergy, they have to bring her own food, so there's no cross-contamination. And so they brought these huge plates of food for her, and, like, she felt obligated. She's like, I feel bad if I don't eat all of it, because they're making this. And I'm like, it's okay, but it created anxiety for her, because there was so much food.
But I mean, they have chicken wings, pot stickers, what they've got, pork,
meat,
steak,
on a skewer. I mean,
shrimp,
come on.
Yeah. I mean, just, and they bring, oh, you want more steak? Here's a huge skewer of steak. Take it all. You know, you like shrimp? Here, have 20 shrimp, you know, and the bread pudding.
The bread pudding
at the end is, and I didn't know this until the last time we were there, but that bread pudding is also unlimited, and I ate two of them. I'm super surprised I didn't get diabetes, but man, that bread pudding is so good.
Pay for it forever, but gosh darn it, I got bread pudding.
And the Lapu Lapu is a rum drink that they put inside of a hollowed out pineapple. It is not complimentary, and it's actually really expensive, but man, that is a good drink.
So you compliment that drink.
I do. The Lapu Lapu is amazing, and it tastes exactly like fruit juice. If you weren't paying attention, you could drink three or four of those. and then
you would have to get up, and then you would remember that you had three or four Lapu Lapus.
But Ohana is just wonderful. I mean, there is no other place that I've ever been. And I have my one regret in Disney dining is that I have not eaten at any of the African restaurants. I've never eaten at Sanaa. I've never eaten at, what's the other one? Jiko,
the cooking place or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have never eaten at any of those places, and I feel like the experience at those places would probably be similar.
Okay, so I'm thinking the best comparison would be probably Boma, okay. because Boma is also a buffet-style diet, so okay. it's all you can eat. But I think that Ohana is still better than Boma, simply because it's a buffet. So you go up to the buffet, you fill your plate, whereas, you know, Ohana, they're bringing the food by, they've got the skewers, it's just, I don't know, it's a different feel to me. It's really
fun.
Yeah, it's more of an event, I think, than Boma is, whereas Boma's more of just, like I said, a buffet with some really good food on it and some really different food than what you would normally get to experience. But it's outside of that, it's still a buffet on some level, I think. You know?
Okay. Yeah. And Ohana is so good about being Polynesian. The whole Polynesian resort to me feels like you're really entering probably the best themed resort on property. And Ohana is just a like perfect extension of it. And so Ohana is, I mean, right neck and neck with California Grill. I love them both so much. And it would not feel like a trip to Disney if I didn't get to eat at those places. So Ohana's my number two. I'll quit gushing about it. And what is your number two?
Okay, so for my number two, it's kind of funny because my number two is Sanaa.
Ah.
Yeah, so, you know, one of those places that you talked about that you haven't got an opportunity to go to. And this is, you know, I've only been to Sanaa once, and that was our last trip. You know, Nancy and I went over there and did, I guess, lunch over there. And yeah, again, it's just, I don't know. I enjoyed it because I enjoy Indian food, stuff like that, you know. And so they had like curry and butter chicken and, you know, they had the naan bread. And it wasn't a huge dining room or anything. So it didn't feel just crazy in there. And you had the windows that were looking out on the savannah. Though it is on the first floor, so you don't get, I don't know, you can't really see very far, if that makes sense. But you can still see out there and everything. And I don't know, it was good food, a good time. And again, there was some theming involved to the restaurant. So
yeah. Where is Sanaa?
Sanaa is at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember. I want to say it's at the village, but I could be wrong. Well, because you have like the two parts or whatever to Animal Kingdom Lodge. So
yeah.
That part that always gets kind of, no, yeah, it's at Kidani Village. Thank you, internet that is available while we're talking. But yeah, so Sanaa, it's pretty reasonably priced. And like I said, and they had African cuisine as well, but I will jump at the chance to get some Indian cuisine from time to time. And uh-huh. It was really, really good Indian cuisine. And they, you know, they had this setup where like you got, I want to say there were like two different things that you could get. And so I got like, I want to say maybe paneer tikka and then like a type of curry or something. Mm-hmm. And Nancy actually, I think she just got like double butter chicken because she is not a fan of spicy. But even not being a fan of spicy, like that would be, a lot of times that's hard to deal with, but it worked out really well for her because, you know, the butter chicken worked out fine. So, yeah. Sanaa is my number two pick.
I have seen a behind-the-scenes thing of Sanaa. When they were first building it, they filmed a whatever, like, you know, showing you what was going into it and how they were building the menu. And that was the first time I'd ever seen naan. And how you cook it in a tandoori oven, and they just like slap it up on the inside of the oven, and it cooks stuck to the side of this clay, you know, oven.
Right.
And that place has always looked so super good. And we actually had a reservation to go there in 2014 when we went for a whole week, but we got Ohana reservations at the last minute on the same night. And so, again, Ohana...
And you didn't try to do both?
Ohana and California Grill will always trump whatever else there is. So, we didn't go to Sanaa, but that place has always had a special spot in my heart because of seeing that behind the scenes thing of, I think it was of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, but they really spent a lot of time on Sanaa. But I love Indian food, and you're really making me want to make sure that we get to eat there next time we go.
Well, and if you love spicy Indian food, you know that you can actually, you can tell them that you know you want that extra spicy, and they'll bring the little side dish of the like spices and stuff.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, kick it up a notch whenever you want to. Mm, yes. Yeah. So Sanaa, good food, good time. And like I said, and again, it's not just your standard restaurant. There's a lot of, and I don't want to sell, you know, when we were talking about Boma compared to Ohana, I maybe kind of sold that short saying, you know, that it is a buffet style restaurant. In both of those places, there's a lot of theming and, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge with the African feel and everything has a lot of theming abilities.
Sure.
So it comes through really well.
I think you did a fine job of not necessarily saying it's boring, but Ohana and the theming there and the way that place is and like we were saying, how fun it is, it's a lot to live up to, and it's kind of an unfair comparison to anywhere else. Because that place is built to be a family restaurant. You know, they do the thing where they get all the kids and take them around the restaurant and stuff. I mean, that place is just built to be very interactive and very fun. And I don't feel like there's another dining place at Disney World that really compares to that too much.
I would agree with that.
So I don't think you sold Boma short at all. I mean, because the Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom is a buffet, and it's a character dining thing, but I don't think anybody would say that it's better than, or it's more fun or better themed or whatever than Ohana, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, if you were to give me Crystal Palace or Boma, it would be Boma in a heartbeat, just because Boma, so we'll take this quick side trip, and then we'll get back to the draft. Whereas Crystal Palace, the thing that is interesting about it is that it's a character dining experience, I think.
Right, yep.
And so if you've got kids or you're just super excited about seeing characters, then that's definitely the place to go. And there is really good food to be had at the Crystal Palace, but it's food that, I don't know. I mean, maybe if you came from England or from Africa or from Asia, that would be really cool because it would be something, but for me it's just like, okay, this is more of the same.
Right.
Whereas Boma, I get this chance to experience something that I can't then go home and just as easily go and experience by going out to eat somewhere.
Right.
And again, like I said, I think that Boma does legitimately have really good theming to it. You know, especially comparing, I don't know, to me, Crystal Palace is just a bit more as far as theming is concerned. And that's the theming that it's supposed to have, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that place exists to be a character
experience. Dining experience, yes. Yeah. So, anyway, that's that little side trip. So, we're both at two, so what is your third pick in the dining draft?
I am hung up between three. I have three number threes, and you have not helped me one bit by eliminating one of them.
Well, then I guess you're going to have to pick one of your three number threes as your number three.
Can I just have all three of them as my number three?
No, you can't have all three of them, because I might want one of them as my number three.
So one of them is a table service restaurant. I'm gonna bide my time or kill time.
Okay.
While I'm...
Okay, here's the thing. Let's do this. Because so we're already, you know, I don't know, probably 20 minutes after this thing gets all cut and chopped up. But we've already talked about two table service. Let's do a third table service. Each one of us do a third table service. And then let's come back next week and let's talk three quick service.
Okay.
That should help you knock it down. And then you've got some quick service that are already on your mind for next week.
Yep. Okay. So I only had one table service, so it is, I'm sticking in the Polynesian and going with Kona Cafe because that Tonga toast.
Does that mean that one of your table one of your quick services is Captain Cook's? So you can get that Tonga toast as well?
I've never been to Captain Cook's, so I would feel bad for picking that because I have actually never been there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. Even because I've done both Kona Cafe and Captain Cook's, and Captain Cook is usually what I do because I don't want to do the whole table service experience at breakfast most of the time. But I will say that there is something, it is definitely a step up to do Kona Cafe and get that French press coffee.
Yes, sir.
Brought to your table. And then, you know, now with my family, we typically get a Tonga toast and then we get other stuff.
Yeah.
So we can, because that is heavy.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, get a Tonga toast and then some other stuff and split that and get the, you know, that beautiful French press coffee. And yeah, it's a nice experience there.
I am in complete agreement with you about table service at breakfast, except for Kona.
Mm.
There's something about Kona just that I get. It's in the Polynesian. It's super open. I mean, they took a spot in the Polynesian and put a very, very short wall up around it and called it a restaurant. I mean, there's no big, you know, pillars or anything. There's nothing blocking you off from the rest of the Polynesian except for this little short wall. So it's really open. It's very bright because of that huge skylight out in the lobby of the Poly. And I just, there's something about that place that I love. And that coffee is great. The Tonga toast is really good. The rest of their breakfast stuff is really good. I've never had a bad thing there. I think I've had three or four different menu items there, and all of them were just amazing. So I love Kona. I know Ohana also does breakfast. They have a character breakfast, and I've never done that before. But I don't know that if I was in the Polynesian at breakfast time that I would want to go anywhere but Kona, because it is too good to pass up.
Okay, so I'm gonna sidetrack one more time.
Okay.
Before I give you my number three, because this is not my number three, but I feel like, because we've made this argument about breakfast, and I do need to throw one other thing out there. Okay. Kona Cafe is worth doing a sit down breakfast to me.
Uh-huh.
The other place, Whispering Canyon Cafe at the Wilderness Lodge.
Okay.
That is worth doing a sit down breakfast because number one, and this is such a bad plan for breakfast. This is such a bad plan for breakfast. They have an all you care to enjoy breakfast skillet.
Uh-huh.
So eggs, fries, bacon, sausage, waffles, biscuits, gravy.
How does that work though?
What do you mean how does it work? Like they bring you more.
So it's Ohana style?
Yes.
They just bring you more?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Except that Ohana, it's just a different feel because Ohana is more about we're going to bring you the food. It's an experience to go to Whispering Canyon Cafe because they're going to do some weird stuff, and not weird stuff in a bad way, but weird stuff in a fun way. It's just so 50s Primetime, I think, is another good comparison of this where the stuff going on
sounds a lot like 50s Primetime.
Yeah, in that there's an experience to be had that takes place a lot because of your servers, and that is what adds to the experience. So, like I said, Kona Cafe, Whispering Canyon Cafe. But Whispering Canyon Cafe is not my number three pick, though you would think that it was, as much as I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
My number three pick is actually going to be probably the third place that would... Okay, so we said Whispering Canyon, we said 50s Primetime, but there's a third place that I think falls under that same vein, and that's going to be my number three pick, and that is going to be Skipper Canteen.
I totally forgot about that because it's so new, and again, I've never been there.
Yep, and even though I think they're still not doing, somehow they're not doing reserve seating yet, I don't think.
I feel like they tried reserve seating for a day, but I mean, they keep on changing up the format of that restaurant.
Right, so it's a table service, but it's a bit of a weird table service, and just because it hasn't, you know, it hasn't fallen into the you cannot get there unless you booked it well before you got there sort of place. But again, like, just the theming is off the charts with that place. There is so much it's such a wide variety as far as food is concerned, you know, with the different type of options they have available. you have your, you know, your servers, the wait staff, they're making these just horrible puns that we all love because they are so horrible. Like I said, this, it has so many things going for it that it clearly needs to be my number three. So I'm taking that. I'm putting that in my, in my grouping, and you don't get to eat at Skipper Canteen now.
Does it have the same kind of replay value that somewhere like Ohana does? Where you would want to, that, so like with Ohana, I want to go back there. Like I kind of, not only do I crave the food, but I kind of crave the experience of that place also. Does Skipper Canteen have that, or is it just a really well executed, fun restaurant?
I think that, I mean, I want to go back because it's not just the experience is big, the theming is big, the food is also really good in my experience. So I think for all of those reasons, I would want to go back. And I also think that you have the advantage that, for example, there's an entire section of that restaurant that I haven't seen yet. Because I've seen the mess hall, I've seen the, you know, the C room or whatever that one room is, but then there's the other room that I haven't even seen yet. So I've only seen pictures of it so far. And I should have, that's on me. I should have walked around and taken in more of the restaurant when I had the opportunity to do so. But I mean, I absolutely want to go back to kind of see those things.
So I'd kind of forgotten about like the way that restaurant split up. It's kind of like Be Our Guest, isn't it? Where there's kind of three completely different dining rooms that you can choose from.
Yes. Yeah. If I remember correctly, there's like the mess hall. Then, like I said, there's the C room, and then there's the family room or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm not looking that up on the internet right now, so it's probably all horribly wrong. Please do not send me evil Twitters or anything about it, because that's just off the top of my head. But yeah, so there are multiple areas to it, and it feels like the sort of place where, again, there were, you know, just looking at the books, and there are puns in the books, and it's funny, and then there's stuff on the bulletin board, and I don't think I took nearly all of it in.
Yeah.
In one trip. So that, yeah, you know, so that would be another big reason to go, is because I could take, even in the areas that I've already been to in it, I could take more of it in.
Well, that's three.
That's three. We did three rounds, and hey, there were, I don't know, Sanaa was one people probably weren't expecting.
Yeah. And funny that neither of us picked the most exclusive and hardest reservation to get on property, I think, Be Our Guest.
So I really thought you were picking that.
So
why not? We all know why I didn't pick it.
Right. It's really good. I mean, there is no question in my brain that the food was good. And I liked the experience. I will say that it was underwhelming. And I don't find myself thinking about it. You know, I will think about frequently how I love California Grill and how I love Ohana and how I want to go back to Ohana. And I'll find myself, you know, just like I think about how fun Splash Mountain is or how much I love Tower of Terror. I find myself thinking about some of these restaurants, and Be Our Guest just isn't one of them. It was nice to eat there. I don't know that we'll ever need to eat there again. It's a confusing place to me. It's been built up so much, and two, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, 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 and it's very interesting on the outside. It's a mountain, you know, like all of the things, all of the different pieces of it, when you add them up, should be something that is this amazing, incredible experience, and it is less than the sum of its parts. And I don't know, it's not a place that I crave the way that I do some other places.
Yeah, it's not that either one of us wouldn't go eat there. It's just that that wouldn't be our first pick to go eat there. And that if we're taking places, we're drafting places that this is the place that I definitely want to, you know, in our imaginary parks, in our perfect parks, we could kind of take our lead, Be Our Guest being there, I think.
Right, yeah. I think you can get better food more easily from another place.
Yeah. So also, 50s Prime Time did not
make... I was very surprised you didn't pick
that. Okay, so here's the issue. The next to last time I went, the food was very underwhelming. Now, I will say that it was better than the last time that I went, so again, that's why I really, you know, want to point out to people, make sure that you give some of these places more than one try. If you manage to catch them on one of their few, like, if your first and only experience with Le Cellier had been an overcooked steak and you didn't get it fixed, and even after you, I don't know, even if after you got it fixed, if that was your first experience, that's going to kind of put a damper on it.
See, that's such a problem for me, because like we were talking about last episode about the Tower of Terror overlay, if that was a thing, if some people get to go to Disney World one time, you know, and having a restaurant, and I don't know if you have found 50's Primetime Cafe to be irregular like that, where sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, but I hesitate to you know, put a restaurant that is that way on a list like this, because if
they're experiencing an off day, somebody thinks that's what you suggested.
Right. If there's a person who only ever gets to go to Walt Disney World one time, and that's what they get, that's the experience that they get, I mean, I would really hesitate to suggest a place, you know? And is it that way? Has 50's Primetime Cafe been that way for
you? Okay, so the food, I don't think so. Again, we did have to cut this down to three, and I think there is a point where 50's Primetime makes it on my list. But the other thing, and to me, what is the bigger, more egregious issue, is that the last probably at least two times that I've been, it's just felt like there are so many reservations, and they are turning and burning tables so fast that the experience has suffered, in that the wait staff is more focused on, and this is going to sound bad, okay? This is just going to sound bad. The wait staff is focused more on being wait staff than they are on the experience. And that is what I love about 50's Primetime, is the experience. You know, And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist anymore. You know, as far as the keeping your elbows off the table, and you've got to set the table, and, you know, we're going to have, if you don't finish your food, we're going to have everybody yell shame, shame, shame at you. And, you know, all of these different things, or, you know, taking your cell phone out of the table. It feels like more and more the last few times I've been, I just see people who are just doing all the things that I'm like, oh, this is going to be funny, because they're about to, you know, and then it just, nothing happens. And I'm like, well, then this is just a restaurant then.
Right.
And it's a cool restaurant. It's got some fun theming, and there's TVs and all of that. But I want it to be what it was. And like I said, yeah. I don't know what that is. But to me, I don't know what it is. But I think that it is just because it is so crazy busy all the time. And they're trying to turn tables.
Hmm. Yeah, Ohana is that way, California Grill's that way, Le Cellier is, you know, that way to an extent. I mean, I don't mean the wait staff being more concerned with getting you out of there in a timely manner. I mean that they are so super busy, and I would hate to see them go the direction of, okay, is everything good? Was everything all right? Great. And then, you know, they come back 5 minutes later and ask you the same thing. Was everything good? You guys doing all right? Okay, yeah. Why don't you go ahead and get up so we can flip this table real quick.
Right. And now I will say that I've never felt like they were trying to push, and I've been to restaurants where they're clearly trying to turn tables, in that they are trying to get you out of there so they can get somebody else sitting at your table. And I have not had that feeling at 50's Primetime, and I hope that I never have that feeling at any place on Disney property, but I think it's just the amount of work that the wait staff are having to do doesn't leave them as free to do all the extra stuff. And I'm not sure if that is a reservation issue and there are just more people there, though it does seem to be crazy busy every time I'm there now. Or if it's a staffing issue, you know, maybe Disney needs to get more people in there and that requires more money, and we know that there are all sorts of weird things going on there. But yeah, so that's why 50's Primetime didn't make my top three must have in my draft, is just, again, to some extent that one bad experience kind of turned me off. And gosh, I feel bad saying bad experience, because it was just food instead of really, really good food.
Mm-hmm.
But it still wasn't up to the standards that I knew that they were capable of. And then the experience not being quite at what it has in the past are the things that knocked it off my list.
So I didn't have on my short list, I didn't have any other table service I pretty much got exactly what I wanted.
So next week we'll have some of those quick service out there, and maybe I think that one's going to be interesting because I don't think you and I talk as much about quick. We talk about it here and there, but
yeah,
we don't fall all over ourselves.
Yeah,
bragging about the quick service places the way that we maybe do about, I don't know, two places that may have been taken number one and number two in the draft.
I think that'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.